There are few places on earth like a college campus. Different generations, all walks of life, from around the country.
I grew up in LA, but I've always wanted to be a Sooner.
And the world.
I lived in Panama, and now I'm at OU studying creative media production.
Living on campus together, broadening our horizons.
There are ways to think about this that I never thought about before.
Learning, growing, making mistakes.
When it started hailing during our study, I knew that we had miscalculated.
And achieving remarkable things.
I got to help with cancer research, and I'm only an undergrad.
I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, an OU podcast about thought leaders here in the heartland. There's a world of voices on this campus, but there's only one Oklahoma. August 21st, 2017 is the day of the solar eclipse. Soon, the moon's shadow will be racing across Earth, and a phenomenon we haven't seen coast to coast in the continental U.S. since 1918. You might feel like you're in a sci-fi scene, as traffic halts on city roads in the path of totality, the sky grows darker, and people peer upwards wearing special eyewear, observing the astrological event that has historically helped us better understand our universe. So today, on this special bonus episode of Just So, we met up with Evan Rich, an astrophysics grad student who will hopefully unlock the secrets of the universe and help us understand the cosmic significance of this rapidly approaching solar eclipse.
Hi, I'm Evan Rich. I'm a, I guess now, fifth-year graduate student at the University of Oklahoma. I study astrophysics, and primarily I'm interested in studying very young stars with very thick disks around them and trying to constrain how planets form, because that's actually a question we don't quite understand yet.
I want to know first, when is the last time an eclipse like this has been visible in the United States?
So there have been a couple that have been visible. The last one, the last total eclipse was in Hawaii in 1991. Of course, a lot of us didn't see that. The last major one in the continental United States was 1979, but it just went through the northern states. But the last one to go from coast to coast, like this one, was in 1918. So the last time we had an eclipse like this, of this magnitude, was around World War I.
How does the eclipse affect Earth?
So for the most part, all an eclipse is just a shadow. So the moon goes in front of the sun, casting a shadow upon the Earth, which really makes a very beautiful imagery that everyone really enjoys. If you go during a total eclipse, if you look around 360, you get a 360-degree sunset, which is pretty cool and original. And a lot of times, total eclipses typically spook animals and cause some problems for farmers in that way. But for the most part, in a general physical sense, it really doesn't affect Earth that much.
Why do they spook animals?
I'm not entirely sure why. I assume probably just the same reason as storms. You're basically going from perfect daylight to pitch black night. During a total eclipse, it is equivalent to a moonless night in the middle of nowhere. A lot of cities are actually turning off their lights so you can get the full darkness experience of a total eclipse. For one, the moon is blocking out the brightest part of the sun, and then you have the outer atmosphere, which is the chronosphere, and you can get really good images and fully better understand our own sun in a way that we really can't without a total eclipse. The second one is Einstein's theory of general relativity that everyone's heard, you know, the bending of space-time. Well, one of the best ways, the very first proof of Einstein's theory of general relativity was light bending around the sun, and obviously you can't take an image of a sun looking for something behind it without a total eclipse. So in 1919, that's what they did during a total eclipse, the first evidence of Einstein's theory of general relativity.
How long will the total eclipse last?
So it completely depends on where you are in the path of totality. I think the record for the longest totality was like 7 minutes. But on average, people can expect somewhere between 2 to 5. It depends on which coast you're on. Actually, somewhere around in the middle of Missouri, it's going to have the longest total eclipse. And it also depends on how close you are to the center of totality.
Do you know how quickly the moon's shadow will move across the Earth?
So it's pretty quick. And actually, I had to look this one up. So the eclipse is going to start in the Pacific Ocean, and it's going all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. And it'll do that a little under 4 hours. So that's really quick. That's about half the Earth in 4 hours. It'll go from coast to coast in about an hour and a half. And so at its maximum velocity, it'll be a little under 3,000 miles per hour.
Do you think people will be flooding to the cities that are in the path of totality?
Absolutely. So I was just recently in Paducah, Kentucky. They are fully prepared to have standstill traffic on the highways. They've asked all their cops to show up for that day just for traffic. So if you are traveling to the path of totality, which a lot of people are, expect traffic. This is a very unusual eclipse because about 88 million people are within driving distance to the path of totality, which is very rare for an eclipse.
Really?
Yeah.
When's the next time we'll see this again?
So the next time we'll have a total eclipse, and they happen at least usually once a year somewhere on the Earth, but again, it's a thin path, so for the most part, you don't really see them very often. But the next time we'll see it in the continental United States will be in 2024, and it'll actually be really close. So it'll go straight over Dallas, and it'll come through the southeast corner of Oklahoma, and that's the path of totality. So within a couple hours driving distance, Oklahomans will be able to see the total eclipse.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go to that one?
Maybe, hopefully I'm done with grad school by then, so I might be living somewhere else,
that's
so
true.
Yeah.
In your professional opinion, should we get the day off to view this total eclipse?
Absolutely, but as an astronomer, I kind of do. I'll be running the event out on South Lawn. I know a lot of professors, for their first day event, they're just gonna go see the eclipse with their class. So, I mean, it depends. I know a lot of people are taking the day off to see it because it is it can be a once in a lifetime event for a lot of people.
Where will you be during this once in a lifetime event? If you're on campus, be sure to check out one of the watch parties in the South Oval. You can find more details on these events on the OU calendar at calendar.ou.edu. Special thanks to Evan Rich for sharing his knowledge of deep space and astronomical events with us, Drew Bernard and Angela Start, who helped me produce this podcast, and all of you for tuning in. Keep an eye out for our next episode coming out Saturday the 26th, where we'll be exploring gender and identity in pop culture with Dr. Lisa Funnell in honor of Women's Equality Day. It's going to be awesome. Until then, enjoy your skygazing.